Hello, thank you for joining us on Talk Chef, the podcast where we talk about Top Chef. I am John Drake. You may know me as Top Scallop. You may also know me as Young Crudo. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Crosby, Stills, and Nash Flynn.
Yes.
How are you doing this week, Nash?
I'm great. I look forward to these nicknames every single week. More than the show. No, that's not true, but I do love them.
Thank you. I'm glad. I put a lot of work into them. I had this one in my pocket since like last Friday. I was like, Crosby, Stills, and Nash Flynn. I can't forget it. I got to hold on to that one, so I'm glad you appreciated it.
I love it.
Awesome. So first of all, how are you doing?
I'm very full, actually.
Yeah, you had a big meal tonight. You sent me a picture of it. It looked quite interesting and extravagant. Just very, a lot of stuff on the plate. It all looked fantastic. Yeah, you're really coming into your own as a protein cook.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell the people what you had for dinner?
I had bacon.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Bacon's almost a meme now because people like it so much. It's almost passé to talk about it, but it still is really good. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it.
I actually hated it as a kid. I've hated every pork meat that I've ever tried. So I went into this being like, we live on a farm. I mention that every single week. It's fine. I make a dope hollandaise with some of our duck eggs. And I really wanted Eggs Benedict. But then I was like, what if we spiced it up a little bit and had real bacon?
Real bacon. Is that from your farm?
Not from ours. There's a farm down the street. So I sent my husband out while I started cooking.
Still, that's nice locally raised pigs, you know, in the right conditions. I bet that was fantastic. How'd you prepare the bacon? Did you pan fry it or?
We were pan frying low and slow in its own fat.
Let it render out. That's the way to do it. Yeah.
With some asparagus added sort of close to the end.
Okay. Cooked in the bacon fat. Yeah, that's a nice touch.
Super good. I don't want to toot my own horn, but I ate way more than I should have, and I had to change into sweatpants immediately.
Toot, toot. You deserve it. Toot that horn, Ash. Proud of you. Cooking bacon like a champion.
So good.
It looked fantastic.
I get it now.
Yeah.
I get it.
When it's done right, my mom always burnt bacon to beyond recognition. So now I prefer it kind of burnt, but not that burnt, you know, but I like it real crispy. And my wife prefers it like a little, I don't want to say like floppier because it sounds gross, but like she likes a little, you know, she doesn't want it to snap in half if you bend it, basically.
Right. We had both somehow. The middle got real crispy, but the edges were still sort of fatty.
You have an electric stove?
Yeah.
That's why. Yeah. Those pans don't heat up evenly. You get cold spots. I hate it too. I have an electric stove and I really want to upgrade to gas one day, but it's a pain in the ass.
It is a huge pain in the ass.
So that covers Nash's protein of the week. And then we have a fantastic episode to talk about today. What a great episode of Top Chef that was. One of my favorites in the past few years that I can remember.
Yeah, this was the first episode that I think I watched start to finish with just a fervor. I was like, this is learning for me.
Right.
So good. And I feel like that happens so infrequently with any cooking show. You know, you get the French people who are really good at French technique. You get sort of the Italian episodes where they break down pastas. But this was the first one where I felt like every dish was a learning experience for me. And for the first time, I think I couldn't even pick a favorite dish because I would have eaten literally anything.
Yeah, even the dishes that were on the bottom looked pretty good to me. The food looked fantastic. Everybody was in their zone. Everybody was getting along. It was just a pleasant hour of television. And it's the first real inkling I get that this cast we have this season is pretty great.
Yeah.
Food-wise and personality-wise. I'm just really starting to like a lot of these chefs that we have on the season. So starting to get emotionally attached, which means the next few weeks are going to be even more painful. But still, once you are starting up the contestants, it becomes much more interesting to watch and much more stressful too.
It's going to start feeling probably within two or three eliminations a little like Game of Thrones, like people you care about start to die.
Right. Even Jamie has firmly won me over. I can't explain it. I was annoyed with her week one. Week two, I was like, maybe she's okay. Now I'm like, you know, if Jamie goes home, I riot. So.
Well, I mean, I think part of this episode, too, is that she didn't have any of those forced, quirky moments. You know, she didn't spend any time looking for words and saying just nonsense. It was very, this is who she is as a chef, and she's going to give you sentences that are cohesive about the things that she's made.
Well, I think there was one moment when they were cooking for the elimination challenge where she tried to say 1 hour, 35 minutes, and she said 1 minute, 35 seconds, and then made some weird noises after that. So I think that was our only weird Jamie moment of the episode.
But in small doses, it is sort of endearing.
Right, exactly. It's not so noticeable when it's here and there, which is strange. We're getting less of that now that there's fewer chefs, but they're focusing in on her idiosyncrasies less. So what about this quickfire? How do you feel about Talenti gelato in general? Are you familiar with it? Do you eat it?
I have had it. I like it. unfortunately for everyone, you can't be like, I'm gonna have a little spot of ice cream. That is the thing you commit to, and it has over 1,000 calories.
Yeah, especially with these ones, the layered desserts that they make, because it's so strange, like, stopping it when you're on the crunchy layer. Like, I got to get through to the next layer of ice cream, and then I can stop. And then you're like, well, there's only this much left, so let me just go to town.
So you have to go all the way down to get the full experience, and then you're all the way down anyway.
Yeah, just finish it off. What are you going to do? You're not going to go back for that.
I mean, they are very, very good. I will say that.
Yes, they do a good job with their gelato. I'm a fan.
But at what cost? You know what I mean?
Who's cooking gelato, though? They said they're baked for 45 minutes. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, I think gelato is slow. I don't know that they actually meant baked, but it's to churn the egg yolk.
Oh, there's egg and gelato. That's the difference between that and like ice cream.
I mean, regular ice cream has egg in it, too.
Nash, you're blowing my fucking mind right now. I thought ice cream was just cream and like ingredients.
No, man.
There's eggs
egg yolks.
In it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Positive.
We're going to look into this later. Because, yeah, I've made it like in the Ziploc bag where you get like the ice. That's not real ice cream, I guess.
That's like whipped cream, but cold.
Okay. I have an ice. I'm trying to think. You know what? I've never made ice cream in my ice cream machine. I've made a sorbet.
Oh, yeah. See?
So, yeah. I can't.
Full
really
on ice cream almost always have egg yolks in it because it gives it that like creaminess and doesn't freeze all the way. So you don't get those cold spots unless you let it thaw and then refreeze. Oh, but they're usually like pasteurized or slow heated.
Okay. See, I'm learning something today. This is fun. It's not.
I just pushed on my glasses like a nerd.
Little eggs help the ice cream not have cold spots, you see.
Who am I?
Richard Blaze. Nash Blaze.
Richard really quick.
Real quick. Just he seems to have a lovely family, but you know what?
Screw it. We have cool hair.
We're going for it. You're going to move to SoCal now.
Oh, boy. Oh, speaking of hair, though, let's talk about Padma.
What about Padma's hair did you want to bring up?
Oh, man, she has bangs this week. Did you not notice?
Yeah, now that I'm picturing it, she did have bangs this week.
Bangs and, like, JNCO jeans.
They're back now, apparently, I guess.
It's wild.
I've seen a few people wear them lately on television shows where people are stylish, so I was like, oh, I guess JNCO jeans are a thing again.
And no.
Obviously, they're probably not the JNCO brand. They're probably Armani or some shit, but they look like JNCOs.
Terrible. Don't do it, guys.
If you're a younger listener and you don't remember JNCOs, Google it. It's literally J-N-C-O. There's no vowel in the middle there, so don't slip up and type in J-I-N-C-O. Nope.
That would be so embarrassing for you.
That would be embarrassing for you when you see how we used to dress. My mom never bought me JNCO jeans, thank God. Even though I wanted them so bad, she refused.
I don't think I ever had a pair either.
Not for us, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So this quickfire was fun with the Talenti, but I got to call out Avishar shaving with a straight razor like a fucking 19th century pioneer in the beginning montage.
So
I was like, who is this man? This most interesting man in the world. That's going to be his new nickname because every time he gets on screen, he is dropping some knowledge on us or showing us a side of him that we didn't know existed. So
I find him adorable. And also in this episode, we got him talking about how he's a science guy and using the liquid nitrogen for the ice cream. And he also says this is his persona this time, which I just love.
Right.
He's not committed to having a personality.
No, he puts them on like we put on outfits. He's like, I'm going to be a scientist. I don't know. How do you know when you've poured enough liquid nitrogen on? I can never tell. It seems like they pour that shit out for like ever.
A minute and a half,
And I'm like, how are you just not eating a bowl of ice chips at the end? But he won with a Buckeye, which Buckeyes are a very popular dessert in my house.
Chocolate and peanut butter, right?
Yeah. It's peanut butter mixed with like confectioner's sugar. To make it even sweeter, because peanut butter isn't sweet enough. And then you just roll it in chocolate and put it in the fridge and let it harden. But my mom makes them every Christmas. Like, she makes trays and trays of them, and we love them, so.
They sound good. But I have to say, for me, goat cheese ice cream had me. Thank you. Thank you, Byron.
So, quickfire. The quickfire was cool. I like a dessert quickfire. It threw our categories for a loop because we had no scallops and no crudo this week again.
Again.
They're making me look like a fool. coming up with these categories, but I promise it's coming. There's going to be like an explosion of them at some point.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to, all the pent up
scallops rage.
Yes, pent up scallop and crudo rage is going to be exercised in one episode, and we're going to get like 17. So you'll see. I'll be right. What did you think of the Talenti challenge, aside from the fact that gelato is made with eggs? What else did you have to say about it?
I thought it was hard. I mean, I know that the reason behind it was the inspiration of Carrie sort of baking this cake in the snow oven, which is great, but they're given a layered challenge. It has to have three layers and they only get 45 minutes, and they're like, 45 minutes is a decent amount of time. And then you had 10 of them come, they couldn't finish in time, they had to change their plan because they didn't have enough time. And it's, don't start off saying it's enough time.
Yeah, Dawn with leaving stuff on the stove and burning stuff. Dawn, I mean, obviously we'll talk about her triumphs later, yeah. But time management seems to be a problem for her. That's a recurring theme so far, so I hope she figures that out. She really shined in the elimination challenge, which is one of those that I really like, where you're given kind of all day to make your dish.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great way to really see what a chef's about. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a timed competition, and if you can't do the short time challenges, you're not going to make it far enough to really show off your skill.
Right.
Now, Kiki had to change up her dish a little bit during the quick fire, and she went in a direction I can't say I was thrilled with. Did you want to tell us what Kiki did when she couldn't quite get her layers down? She was going to do tres leches rice, was that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
And the rice didn't cook in time, so she made... Why don't you tell the people what she made and how she served it?
Oh, man. She tried to make a pie dough to sort of give the illusion that she knew what she was doing. And she just mashed up some butter and some salt and some flour and called that a pie dough. But I've got some bad news for you, friends. Mm-hmm. You can't eat raw flour.
That's E. coli waiting to happen, right?
Right.
It's a misconception that the reason you're not supposed to eat raw cookie dough or raw, like, brownie butter or whatever is the raw eggs.
Right.
The more dangerous part of it is raw the flour. Raw flour. It's terrible for you. It's very dangerous. So I wonder if when Padma is watching this at home tonight, holy shit, she served us raw flour.
And no one really seemed to realize the implications of what they had just eaten. And she sort of said it to them, you know, as she was standing there, she's, well, I just sort of threw it together. And no one was like, I'm sorry, what?
She called it like a pie crust crumble. So I don't know if maybe they thought she took pre-made pie crust and, you know, ground it up or something. Yeah. I don't know. But no, she didn't. She served them raw flour. So that was...
So I hope they're fine. That was troubling. Honest. Yeah.
We would have heard about it by now. This all happened in, like, October.
Well, I mean, I guess maybe they just had a little bit of dysentery-like behavior, and they didn't talk about it.
Ooh, callback. Chris named his dish the Oregon Trail, so there you go. You died of dysentery. Well, no one died, thankfully.
Yeah.
At this point in the episode, I was starting to wonder if, did Nelson get sent home, like, in between episodes somehow? I don't think we saw him until, like, halfway through the Elimination Challenge. He got no screen time in this episode.
Yeah.
I mean, he was kind of middle of the pack, so I guess if they had to cut somebody, it makes sense. But I'm a big Nelson fan already, so I was a little bummed. I was like, did something happen? Did he get sick? Did he take the day off? I don't know.
He was just like, yeah, I'm not getting out of bed today.
Yeah, you know, I'm skipping this quickfire. I mean, if you skip a quickfire, do you go home? Probably not,
I mean, people, I think, have been sick, but I think everybody usually gets sick for an elimination challenge, you know?
Yeah, I remember Angelo losing his season because he got super sick. That was so fucked up. But then, you know, he was never the same. They brought him back twice more and he could never close it out. So
nope.
Kevin Spraga is our season 7 champion somehow. Yeah. Every time somebody names their dish, I kind of roll my eyes. Chris was like, I'm calling this the Oregon Trail. And I was like, I'm calling it a fucking ice cream dessert. Like, whatever it is, you know, like, we don't need this.
I'm calling it, you should just call it nothing.
Yeah. Just call it what it is. List the ingredients for me. Mm-hmm. Let's get down to business. But then Big A with the win. Avishar, my man.
So good.
Coming in clutch, getting immunity. Love to see it. I think he's turning a corner, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
Because he's just a delightful character. I want him to stick around as long as possible. I don't think he's going to win, but I could see him like top 6, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think so. I mean, I think he's also one of those people that just has such a general enthusiasm for the things that are happening around him. It is so nice to sort of have him as this point of view that we get sometimes. Where he's, I'm really excited about this challenge, and it almost makes you feel like you're...
Yeah, he brings, like, some levity to the surroundings, whereas someone like Portland Gabriel, he kind of seems over it all the time. Or that some of the challenges are beneath him, I get that vibe. And, like, he doesn't always say anything that makes me feel that way. It's more just his demeanor.
Yeah. I mean, in this episode, he had, what did he say, at one of the restaurants, that he's ashamed that he's never been there before.
Right. He's presumably lived in Portland for some time now and hasn't been hitting up the local food spots, so.
And everybody knows that's where the food cuisine is happening, you know? Yeah. Come on.
I visit a city. I don't want to go to Kraft.
Right.
You know, I can go to Kraft in how many cities? I want to go to the little hole-in-the-wall places. Yeah. That's where the authentic good food is getting made, so.
Yeah. Unless... go to the neighborhoods for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So let's talk about the elimination challenge a little bit.
Yeah.
I want to go on a food tour with Kwame and Gregory.
That's literally my top note. I'm like so excited that we learned about West African food. I'm so excited that Kwame was like sort of our entrance too, because he's so eloquent and he just knows everything.
For a young guy, he's so worldly.
Yeah.
I just want to learn from him.
Yeah. It was really incredible. Like, what an experience to even just watch on TV And I also just want to credit them, I think, too, with doing this episode in the middle of what they were in the middle of, and also making it feel like the pandemic wasn't taking the front and center stage for this. You know, this was very much a Black Lives Matter episode for them, and they sort of sidelined all of the COVID stuff. It didn't even really feel like they were doing this in a quarantine.
Which was great as a viewer to kind of get a break from that and focus on some other issues, because we know obviously the COVID has been devastating for the restaurant industry, but that message is going to be received over the entire season in every way. So to focus on something else was nice and poignant.
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking about West African food and Black Lives Matter being such, you know, an important part of what's going on in America and also Portland. It tied it together very nicely, I thought.
Yeah. It was a beautiful episode, really, in a lot of ways.
It really was. Just so moving, so and so delicious looking.
Yes. So good.
I mean, these restaurants they went to, I wanted to eat everything.
Yeah.
Do you have any experience with West African food or?
I don't. And now I'm sort of sad that I don't.
I mean, any big city is going to have some options for you if you kind of know where to look. It's definitely worth seeking out.
One of my best friends in the whole wide world is Haitian, though, but a lot of their cuisine had meat in it. So until very recently, I couldn't eat any of it. And he apparently makes incredible chicken dishes. So I texted him while we were watching this, and I was like, I cannot wait.
Hell yeah.
For you to get vaccinated.
One segment on our episode can be Nash's Haitian adventure. And you can, you know, tell us about what you ate and how much you loved it.
Yeah,
I'm sure you're going to love it. You're not opposed to spice at all, right?
I can't do heat, but I will still eat it.
What? So you're just going to suffer?
Yeah. I'm straight up going to suffer.
Respect. Okay. I dig it. Haitian food's not crazy spicy or anything, but it, you know, you will probably be in a little bit of pain.
Let's go.
Yeah, I have Life a note here. I think the first time we saw Nelson was at the Guyanese restaurant. So, and also Brittany, like you, cannot handle spice. So we learned something else about Alpine food.
Not spicy.
It's not spicy. It's not rice and it's not spicy. We're learning a lot.
Right.
And also,
but she didn't say anything about Alpine food at all this episode, which is interesting given what happens to her later on.
Yes. No spoilers, but we get Tom in the kitchen, which is a thing I love. I think this is the first time this season we've had Tom in the kitchen, where he goes around and talks to all the chefs about their dishes, and he's like, oh, what are you doing? And they tell him, and then he kind of makes that Tom face where he's like concerned.
Is that smart?
Nervous. And then you're always like, did the chef see him make that face? Do they know they're fucking up, or did he do that where they couldn't see? Sometimes does he do it just to make the chef think they're fucking up to see if they're confident enough to keep on down that road? I don't know. I love Tom in the kitchen just messing with people's heads.
Agreed.
He knows how to play the mind games. And this was like the most engaged Tom I think we've had all season. I feel like he's kind of taken a back seat up until now.
Yeah, he seemed tired, I think, the first couple episodes. Maybe he wasn't feeling super great.
He is doing a lot of work within the restaurant industry to try to help alleviate some of the damage done by COVID. He's been very active with working with politicians to try to get some kind of relief for restaurant owners and employees. So kudos to Tom. He is always fighting the good fight for the restaurant industry, but I think it took a lot out of him.
Yeah.
And it was visible the first few weeks, but he has a lot of great guests, judges now to pick up the slack.
Yeah. I mean, I do think Richard was more of the forefront the first two episodes.
Yes.
But it was nice to see sort of Tom re-embrace being the king of Top Chef.
Right.
Tom,
if Tom quits the show, could it go on? I wonder.
I feel like they'd have to shove Richard in there.
I think Richard could, but I also feel like Brooke could be a good stand-in for Tom. They've kind of been grooming her. I feel like she's been kind of like the Top Chef darling for a little while, with good reason.
I think that there would be sort of a struggle if they put Brooke in Tom's place and kept Padma, because the thing about Tom and Padma is they have this every season there's a couple comments that are like, okay, I guess we're supposed to ship this now, you know what I mean?
Then tension.
Yeah, we wouldn't necessarily have that, as I don't know. I don't know that they have the chemistry for it.
I think I could even see Kwame taking over for Tom eventually.
I would love a Kwame Top Chef.
Because him and Padma have a little flirty thing going on. Yeah. They always have, even in Kwame's season. He made a few comments about having a crush on Padma, so I think there's some chemistry there. Not that anything would ever happen, but you need that kind of will they, won't they, you know, tension to keep it interesting. Apparently you do. The Top Chef producers seem to think so. And who am I to argue? I'm still watching this show 18 seasons later, so they must be doing something right.
Or Gregory, too, now that we're talking about it. You know, Gregory's been on several times on that side of the table, and I think that they have a little bit of nice play that's interesting.
They do. I wonder if Gregory could deliver the harsh criticism when needed like Tom does, and I think like Kwame could.
Yeah, that's true.
I think
true.
Gregory Kwame might just be could. Too much of a sweetheart, and he seems like a great guy, and his food is absolutely amazing to see, and I would love to try it one day. But yeah, I just don't know if he's the guy that can deliver the bad news
Yeah.
So I wonder, though, I'm curious how long they're going to keep this going and if the show will continue when Tom's done. It's just a question I've been grappling with lately because we didn't know if the season was going to happen for a long time.
Yeah. And I think now that they've done this, they'll probably at least take us to 20, right?
Why not? And once you have 20 seasons under your belt, you can do an all-winter season because you know there's going to be some people that won't come back. Right. But if you get 15 out of 20, you're going to get enough people to come back, I think. I don't think Harold wants anything to do with Top Chef anymore, the season one winner. Probably Paul wouldn't come back for reasons. You know, there's going to be a few that maybe just don't want the hassle anymore or won't be invited back.
Or are mildly too old. Harold wasn't super young in his season, 20 years later.
Right, and he's not a restaurant chef anymore. He just does consulting now when he is, like when he feels like it, I think. So he probably doesn't want that hustle and bustle. But yeah, I think you could get most of them back. So I think before it's over, we will definitely get an all winner season. Every reality show does it eventually. Throw enough money at them, they'll do it. Yeah. Anyway, we've gotten on a tangent here, but it was fun. Let's get into, so the elimination challenge was just great dish after great dish, it looked like.
Yeah.
Some really fantastic food coming out of the kitchen today. Anything that jumped out at you?
Literally everything. I could have eaten everything.
Yeah.
I think Don's dish was probably the one that I was like, yo.
Is that your pick for your favorite dish of the week?
It is. The curried goat. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Curry goat is one of my favorite dishes to get from a Jamaican restaurant. But her take on it was so interesting. And that green puree that was on the side that they just couldn't stop raving about. I need to know what that tastes like.
So good. Plus, she did a quick pickle, you know?
A quickle.
Quickle.
Yeah.
Nash, why are we not saying that?
Nash texted me about, you know, she made a quick pickle. And then she was like, why don't we just call it a quickle? It's a very Top Chef thing, a quick pickle. You know, it comes up in almost every episode, right? I think. And quickle is the way to move. I think going forward, that's the term. We're calling it a quickle from now on. And I think Top Chef should follow our lead.
Yeah. You guys forced the stew room upon us. Take quickle from me.
Why are we using two words when we can use one? Think of how much time it would save. Save a few seconds on the quickle.
Get us a quickle.
So since you gave us your favorite dish of the week, I had three I couldn't choose between. It was Shota's black cod, Maria's oxtail with that habanero avocado puree that looked
so good.
Amazing. Or Jamie's fried fish. I have to go Jamie's fried fish. Honestly, like with the turmeric couscous and everything, like, it just looked amazing. I love a crispy piece of fish, and that looked like just fried to perfection.
Yeah. I'd also like to call out a Shota's dish, because it looked, the plate came in, it was gorgeous.
Very refined,
so pretty. And they were immediately like, this looks like Japanese food. And he said himself, he doesn't cook with a lot of spice, his flavors are very Japanese and clean. And then they were like, oh, but shit, it's real good.
And it hit the flavors he had it to hit to be in the top of the challenge, and Shota's in the top again. Really looking like a front runner this season. So, I mean, we're getting into the categories. We might as well keep running out this through line.
Yeah.
So what was your cliche kitchen moment of the week? I got a lot of, I didn't cook from my heart and I was in my own head comments from chefs today. And that's just a thing I'm sick of hearing now. And I know it kind of makes sense, but there's got to be a more concise way to say that and really tell us what you mean. Don't say, I didn't cook with my heart. Say like, I wanted to do this, but I didn't. I did this instead. You know, it's such a cop-out. What's your greatest weakness? Sometimes I don't cook from my heart. You know? It feels like a fucking job interview answer.
Yeah.
What did you think? Was there any cliches that jumped out at you this week?
I have the liquid nitrogen moment in the quick fire. Just because I'm going to do science. You know what I mean? And I feel like every time somebody pours liquid nitrogen, there's always like this, I'm a scientist comment.
Right. It's always in slow motion. It's always like they get right underneath the mixing bowl and film up as he's pouring it in. Yeah, it's a very, the Magical Elves production team has a way they like to film liquid nitrogen. We already mentioned Scallop Crudo Watch. Nothing to report this week again. I might add Quick Pickle to that category just to, you know, give us something to, I'm sorry, Quickle.
A Quickle.
Something to talk about every week. But I'm telling you, it's coming. There's going to be an explosion of scallops and crudos. You will see.
There'll be a whole like challenge just for scallops.
Right. It's coming. Prepare scallops raw. Hey. Suddenly we're at 9, you know, scallop crudos for the season. And I'm not looking like such a fool.
Yeah.
What did you think about Not Here to Make Friends? Everyone was very cordial this episode. Mm-hmm. Just nobody getting Sarah a pastry bag. No one could help her out.
Or a Ziploc.
Poor Sarah. She's so fun.
That was a bummer.
Just all by herself in that giant kitchen. That's 5 times the size of a normal Top Chef kitchen. Can't get anyone to bring her a bag.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone heard her.
Yeah, maybe not. But I mean, it definitely sounded like there was no sound happening in the kitchen while she said it.
So that was a little hurtful to see from, we're both Sarah fans. What about you? What'd you get?
So for this one, I actually had a Richard moment. So he basically
I know where you're going.
Called out another judge for sweating.
Yeah.
Rude, Richard, my man.
Richard's snuck his way into some of the categories that are supposed to be for the contestants all season. He's putting himself in the center of the action.
Yeah.
Bit in the ass, I have a very obvious one. Brittany serving a pre-made cookie during the quickfire. What are you doing, Brittany?
It's a baking challenge.
You don't serve pre-made stuff to the judges. I know Tom wasn't there, but Carrie baked a fucking cake in the middle of a blizzard or whatever it was. You know, make her something fresh. Cookies aren't hard to make.
Right. Don't disappoint Fancy Toast for me.
God, no. I'm definitely going to Denver. I booked my trip. I'm going to find out if she's still at Bardot, and I'm going.
Do it.
I'm going to take pictures and text them to you and make you jealous.
I'm going with you.
Brittany trying to mute the flavor of her red sauce.
Come on.
With the coconut cream or the coconut milk. Tom is very fond of saying, if you take something that's seasoned and mix it with something that's unseasoned, it doesn't become properly seasoned. It all becomes unseasoned. And she fell for that classic Top Chef trap of trying to unseason food by adding bland stuff to it.
Don't overthink your dishes, people.
Get out of your head. Cook from your heart.
Cook from your Alpine food heart.
Well, she will be cooking from her Alpine food heart at least once more because she got sent home for her pickled mackerel fritter.
Yeah.
That looked kind of gray. It didn't look great on the plate. I do like a pickled fish fritter, you know, like a salt and boca, but it didn't look super appetizing compared to the rest. I'm sure it would have snuck by in most weeks, but like we said, everyone brought their A game this week and just it couldn't measure up. We already went over our favorite dishes for the week. Harshest criticism. Gabriel, Portland Gabe, got the brunt of my choices for his criticism. What about you?
Kwame has mine.
Well, Kwame said mine.
Oh.
About Portland, where he said his goat cheese mashed potatoes took his mouth hostage, which I thought was a very poetic way of saying I didn't like how it tasted. What about you?
He has mine for Kiki. He literally looked this woman in the face. She hadn't even said anything yet. He said, "You know your frou-frou sucked."
That was harsh.
Brutal. Yeah. She had not said that at all. She hadn't even opened her mouth yet. He was like, "Look, it's garbage."
I mean, Kiki mentioned she's Congolese, so I guess Kwame knew she was familiar enough with foo-foo to know that wasn't a good one.
Right. I mean, yeah, I think he made that assumption. She had not quite gotten there herself.
But we saw in the kitchen, she knew that something was off about them and she thought she could sneak it by.
Yeah.
That's another cliche kitchen thing. You know, if it's going to be in the sauce, maybe they won't notice if it's a little lumpy, a little starchy. No.
Cold.
They are professional judges at this point. They've been cooking for decades and they've been judging some of them for decades too. They're not going to miss that. They're looking for, especially in a challenge like this where everyone else's food was so good, they're going to find a reason to knock you down. Don't try to hide it. Take it out of the dish if you have to. If Kiki had a dish with no foo-foo, maybe she wouldn't have been on the bottom. Maybe she would have snuck by in the middle.
Maybe.
Who can say?
Yeah.
So Brittany went home.
She
will face off against Sasha now in Last Chance Kitchen. Sasha was able to dispatch Roscoe from Last Chance Kitchen, so she's continuing on. Our girl Sasha. I got hope that she'll be back.
Yeah, I hope so too.
I think she's much better than a second episode elimination. But
yeah.
If they do the early season, bring somebody back, I think we'll see her. I think she's definitely going to outcook Brittany. I don't know if it's live yet. I haven't watched it, obviously, because we hop on literally as soon as the episode is over to do this.
Yeah.
So, you know what? If we get some details wrong, guys, cut us a break.
Yeah, come on.
I'm staying up late to edit this.
Right. Yeah. I can't remember names literally at all. When
we get down to 8 chefs, it'll be a lot easier to remember names. But it's tough in the beginning. Poor Nelson.
I'm not good at names, like even with people I'm related to. So
do you know my name?
Gerb.
It says it in the thing.
There it is. Jun.
Jun. J-U-N? Is that how you're pronouncing it?
Yeah, I don't have my glasses on. I actually really do have my glasses on. It's
you
fine.
You do? I can see your face. Don't lie to me. Lie to the listeners. I will call you out.
All right, Jib.
100% integrity every time. Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I did actually, we were talking last week about Last Chance Kitchen and trying to figure out who had the longest run. Mm. I did some research. It is Luis Maldonado, I think he was voted like sexiest chef in the world or something at one point. Real handsome
Very
dude.
Good looking.
Yeah, real handsome dude. Shouts to Lewis. He was on the New Orleans season 11, and he had a crazy run of 8 wins in a row and got his way back into the competition. Can you imagine if you had 8 wins in a row and then suddenly lost like at the end?
Brutal.
But no, he had 8 wins in a row, got himself back into the finale, but couldn't quite close it out.
So close.
But he seems to be doing well for himself now, so no harm done. But yeah, Lewis, the Last Chance Kitchen reigning champion.
There you go. Question answered.
Can Sasha unseat him? Time will tell. My guess? Probably not.
I think a lot of luck comes into that, even if you're very good, because you can't have one bad week.
No, and you also have, you're cooking to just Tom, so you really have to cook right to his palate specifically, and if he doesn't like the type of food you make, you're really at a disadvantage.
Yeah, this is going to be the worst analogy I will ever do on anything, but it's very IRA talking to Maggie Thatcher, you know? We have to...
You knew how tortured this analogy was when you
yeah,
made it.
Yeah, like, we only have to be lucky once. You have to be lucky every time, you know what I mean?
Fair. There. I mean,
again,
it tracks.
Again, not a good analogy. I mean, an okay analogy. Just
it's an accurate analogy. It's just I don't know how well known the reference is going to be.
Oh, that's true.
So
I'm like, everyone knows about Ireland, right? And all of its history.
We don't all study, you know, conflict and death for our other podcasts. Some of us study bad movies. Or
some
good
of us also study death for a career, but you know, that didn't work out clearly.
Really? What were you going to be?
I went to archaeology school.
That's not studying death, though. I mean, I guess it kind of is.
Have you high-fived a dead guy?
Due to the risk of incriminating myself, I will plead the Fifth Amendment. But
okay, it wasn't in a dead guy.
It wasn't in a museum, I'll tell you that much. Or at a dig site.
Mine was at a dig site.
It was on Avenue B between 5th and 6th.
Just, hey, man. Oh, shit.
Anywho, just a great episode, right?
So good.
I feel great. I don't know how I'm going to fucking sleep.
I know, right?
I'm so excited for next week now. Like, the show is really coming together. Last week, I felt, was a little bit of a downer, a little bit of a bummer episode.
Yeah, I feel like this season has sort of taken its time getting its footing. Because we've had no drama, there's been, like, no, like, hot goss to talk about. So it's been very sort of building this, everyone's a community and everybody's really good. But this was the first episode where it felt like we got taken on a journey and everybody rose to it. Yeah. You know, it was nice.
Absolutely.
And the people that didn't do well this episode, the people that really struggled through this, had identity issues. And it was interesting to see that against something that doesn't have identity issues, which is African food waste. I mean, they're so established and rooted in culture and tradition and history across the globe. So it was sort of interesting to see those people struggle and everybody else just kind of blow the roof off.
Yeah. And we also have to acknowledge that not just the chefs, but the whole production team and all the judges are out of their element with this new reality they're right living in. So it's probably taking everyone a few episodes to really figure out the formula. So
right,
I'm not down on the season after today. I think it's gonna end up being a great season. Is this the most uses of the word diaspora in an hour of television?
Yes.
It had to be, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If it wasn't on the History Channel, this is it.
Yeah, it's gotta be. All right, so that was this week. Any final thoughts you want to wrap up?
Oh, man. So many, but mostly just like, Kwame, please. Like, I can't. You're so fashionable and lovely and smart. I just can't with you.
Yeah. He had a cheesesteak place in D.C. I was dying to go to before COVID shut everything down. I hope it reopens because he was making like fancy cheesesteaks. I want to eat his food so bad. I want to meet him. I want to hug him if he's cool with it.
Yeah, I want to ask if I can hug him too. And I'm not a hugger at all.
I know. You've mentioned that, but for Kwame...
Yeah,
we'll make an exception. I'll do it. I am a hugger. Thanks so much for joining us, you guys. If your podcast platform does it, please rate, review, subscribe to the pod. Tune in next week. We're going to be doing this every week until the season is done, and then periodically after that. So thanks for joining us. We will see you next week.
Bye.
You don't have to wave, Nash. They can't see
you. Oh, right.